Top Shelf Fantasy.
All right, everybody, week 5 in the books, on to week 6. Like always, we're going to go through some news, plenty of injuries. We had a little break after week 4, but week 5, they're like, yeah, you know, we got to catch back up with you guys. So go through some big IR names. But podcast 306, October 9th, 2024, topshelffantasy.com. Again, start Sitzer up there. Didn't have as good as a week as week 1, but overall, I think we're like 68% on the year. Dawes, you had a lot of misses, but I need you to go back and look at those. They're very on the verge, so some could be washed. I'm not sure.
I didn't check yet. I mean, I think we'll end up just taking the scoring as how you do it after getting away with a Ramondre Stevenson hit in the first week.
So. I did take that away from you.
Oh, you might. Okay. All right. I'll go through them. I'll take a look.
It was a weird week because, like, tight ends, I got like 7.7. Like, oh, it's not bad for a tight end. They're like tight end 18. Yeah. So it was like a decent tight end week. So below 10, you probably weren't even top 12.
Yeah, that can really throw you for a loop. Is like the league wide comparison for your performance can be different than, you know, like typically we say, if you score 20 points as a quarterback, like, boom, you're a hit. And that's like, that's fairly true. That holds pretty consistently true.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are those weeks, especially at tight end, where 15, 20 guys show up and you're like, you know, the backup catches a touchdown and you're like, okay, that hurts everything. And then running backs and wide receivers, you're a little bit more consistent about like 15 plus as a hit, or even like 12 plus if you're taking a fringe guy. But yeah, it gets tricky. So I'll go through and we'll take a look. But I think all in all, we're trending in the right direction. We're staying around that 70%. That's a pretty good hit rate for the guys that we select.
Yeah, and again, some Tyreek Hill 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, me and Derek were talking on our Antoine team. It's like, well, Derek was pretty drunk and he texted me. He's like, I was listening to the podcast. I think you're right. We should sit Tyreek. And I texted him. I was like, we can't sit Tyreek. We don't have anybody else on our team that's playable. Like, we are ravaged by injury and just mediocrity. It's not going well.
Yeah, I'm in dead last in that league. I scored 125 last week. My max PF possible is like 179. I'm leaving. I just can't start the right guys. Like, Moody.
That's a good problem.
It is, but like when you have like that's beating every team but one team, like, by far. I think Tom like went in 87 or something like that, but it was just crazy. But I'm playing you this week. I played Chavs last week. All those guys were on bye. It didn't matter. I got killed. So
yeah,
you're playing the right team on a bye.
We don't have a quarterback in a two. Well, I mean, we do. We picked up Drake May, but
yes, I saw that for zero.
Also, one point of I don't know, advice, I suppose, to the listeners out there. When you go to pick up players on your league's waiver wire, don't just go by Sleeper or Yahoo or whoever's projections, because that's the default when you click into, like, add a player who's available. It's the week's projections. And as we tell you all the time, projections are stupid and usually worthless. Sort by stats on the points that they've scored this year. Look at a few other things. Maybe look at points scored last week. Look at the stats from the previous week, stuff like that. Because had I done that and took my own advice, I wouldn't have added Drake May, and I would have gone against Dickey and added Joe Flacco, more than likely. I know we'll talk about Anthony Richardson and him trending up, but I would not have taken Drake May. And because I texted Derek and I said, should we just throw all of our money on Drake May and or Spencer Rattler / Jake Haener?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'd rather throw $0 on him and just see who we get. If not, we just won't have two quarterbacks. I was like, okay, cool. Like, that it actually works out nicely having you know, Derek there to almost as a sounding board and vice versa. I hope that he feels the same way, but definitely keeps us in check from doing crazy things like putting $36 on Drake May when we won him for zero.
Zero, yeah. And there was one other team, I think Dickey was that team. But like, yeah, it's like Drake May is like projected like 13 points. I'm like, that'd be a pretty good game if you got 13 points. Like, that's
right.
The best quarterback for the past all season. Like, that's tough to get.
Definitely.
But we digress. All right. Let's get into the news. I'll start with the IR guys. Rashee Rice finally is on the IR. LCL injury, got surgery. I believe that this week he's going to in the next few days. Better case because it wasn't the ACL. still up for the season. I'm not sure about playoffs, NFL playoffs, but fantasy wise, you can drop him. I know people are keeping him. He might come back week 17, but it's just a hard person to keep on a bench, especially if you're a five person bench or even six. You can't do it. And even if you have IR spots, like we're going to go through a few guys that you get to put there instead.
Yeah, he's tough to hang on to. Like you said, especially knowing that he might not be back for fantasy playoffs, even if he is back somehow magically for the championship game, you probably aren't starting him. You're probably not going to have faith in his ability to give you a full game's worth of contribution. Additionally, KC's rolling right now. They very well may not have a need to play him.
Would KC play them? Play him? No. KC didn't play Kelsey in the last week, and rightfully
if you,
so. Like, there's no
you,
point.
Have to imagine they are top of the table in the AFC West, like almost easily at this point. Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos are not really a threat. And
not even close. You got to go
on
by
top of that, the
AFC Ravens. That's about it, right?
Right. And
even
right
Texans
now,
aren't looking good, but not as good as in the last year.
Right. And right now,
the Browns
they
aren't
have the
there.
Tiebreaker with them. Like, they have to lose, what, three games? So if you drop them and you see the Chiefs lose three, four games and they're going to be fighting, then yeah, maybe you consider picking up and stashing him at that point, but he's not a person that's worthy of rostering. I know I've seen people even drop him and pick him back up. It's like, I'm not doing it. I'm not playing the game with Rasheed. I know. In a dynasty league, of course, you're going to IR him. Hopefully you have an unlimited IR stash in
You
dynasty,
should.
but
Yeah. Moving on. This one hurts a lot. Nico Collins, either wide receiver one or two, depending on the format you play in. I think after this last week, he's wide receiver one with neighbors out.
Yeah,
Hammy went. He went from day to day to week to now IR in just a couple of days, so he's out at least the first 4 weeks. Them starting with day to day and then week to week, I would assume it is 4 weeks and nothing more. Just kind of just rest the hammy. I mean, we've seen this guy play, and Texans need this guy fully healthy. There's no point to put him on the field, especially when you have Diggs as a top 10 fantasy guy, and you still have Dell that they should probably use. Like, you still have this very talented wide receiver there, and then Dalton Schultz should ramp up a little bit. Not sure I'd pick him back up in fantasy, but ends up being probably a streaming option for the next 4 weeks at least.
Yeah, you'd expect to at least see a bump to Schultz. If you're a John Mechie owner, you're probably happy right now. You could maybe see some expanded role from him. That's really about it.
Didn't that Hutchinson guy get even more work than?
Yeah, Hutchinson. I'm just saying with a full week install, it could be different than your emergency guy. But
right,
in any
right.
case, it sucks. Nico Collins going down sucks. Your wide receiver one on the season, like you said, just terrible. I personally have Rashee Rice and Nico Collins on my dynasty team alongside Jonathan Taylor. So really sweating right now. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah, you can start with the out guys.
Yeah, out, which may trend towards IR potentially. Michael Pittman is suffering through a back injury right now. He's expected to at least miss multiple weeks. The Colts are already considering IR, which is not great. He finally started to get on the same page as, well, Joe Flacco. And whenever Anthony Richardson comes back, it looks like they're going to take even longer to get on the same page together because he's not going to have any reps with them. But just, again, it sucks. He's a guy that if he is even battling back during the course of practice each week, like, you have to pay attention to, because if he's healthy, you're going to play him. But he's going to eat a roster slot as long as he's not on IR. So you almost hope that if it's going to be a multi-week absence, they just slap him there so you can move on and pick somebody else up. But just continue to monitor that throughout the week and see what the Colts let us know. Derek Carr is officially out for this coming Sunday. He's also looking at a multi-week absence with Spencer Rattler breathing down his neck for the start on Sunday. I know we've mentioned Jake Haener was the emergency quarterback in, or I shouldn't say the emergency quarterback, that's a real position, but he was the guy who came in to relieve Derek Carr after the injury, and somehow Spencer Rattler just immediately leapfrogged him. I thought Haener looked good. I thought he threw a couple of nice looking passes during the game too, but Spencer Rattler appears to be the guy. So if you're in a multi-quarterback league, Spencer Rattler's definitely out there. It might be worth going to snag.
Yeah, he's definitely worth it. I mean, he had a great summer, great camp.
Put up over 1,000 rushing yards in college.
Right.
So,
well, that's a thing too, like by Taysom Hill, we don't need you anymore for these kind of gadget plays.
Right.
But yeah, any quarterback that's tied to that offense with those weapons there, should be starting. I mean, you saw Derek Carr the first 2 weeks, crushed it. But like we said, he came back down to Derek Carr earth. And again, we should see Rattler do just a halfway decent job and Carr come back and is the backup, which is what we see or hear every year. Like this, it's always a Carr thing. It's always great in fantasy. Like it's like a Carson Wentz thing, great in fantasy, but for the NFL, it's like we need a pivot.
Yeah, and like all Spencer Rattler has to do to, curry favor with the locker room is throw the ball at Chris Olave like 100 times. He's already has his brother on Twitter harassing the coaches. It won't be hard for Spencer Rattler to overtake Derek Carr if Chris Olave is a big part of his game plan. So, get the superstar receiver on your side, and things tend to go well. But let's see how Sunday goes, and I guess we go from there. The other injury is Aaron Jones. He is dealing with, I believe, a hip injury. And he's on bye this week, so you're not immediately panicking. He's considered week to week, but you just hope that he makes a quick recovery because he's had a very solid season so far this year.
Yeah, and I will add if Ty Chandler is out there, I would pick him for sure. Because if they're saying week to week, even before a bye week, then he's definitely out after the bye week. They would just say, we'll see after the bye, but they come out and said week to week. So,
And it's
yeah,
smart to. To take Ty Chandler if you can afford the bench spot. Nobody else is going for him this week. He's on a bye. Nobody's looking at him. Again, if you sort by projections for the week, his projection's zero. Nobody in your league even
which
looked
I
at
did.
him.
I'm like, damn, I got to pick up Ty Chandler. Put $3 on them. No one put a bid. I'm like, I had to get him though, because like
Oh
next week
yeah.
I need to back. They're hard to come by now.
Oh
So
yeah. 100%. Yeah.
starting back on an NFL team, do it. And I think they already brought Myles Gaskin up to the active roster even before the bye week. So that just kind of
Of
shows it's
course.
definitely multi-weeks. Questionable guys that are not practicing as of Wednesday. Travis Etienne limited with a shoulder he picked up last week. Rashad White, foot issue, limited in practice. So he did practice today in a limited form. Brian Robinson, knee, did not practice, but same as last week. Played limited snaps, but I think he was your sit, but he got two touchdowns and he had like
Yeah,
12
what are you
points or
gonna do?
something like that.
What are you gonna,
So
yeah, like terrible, terrible outing, but worked for fantasy.
let's call it Najee Harris line right there. Jonathan Taylor. No practice again. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I didn't put it on here too, but it's important to note Trey Sermon also missed practice with a collarbone issue that nobody's ever heard of until today. It's tough
Oh.
doing these on Wednesdays, because a lot of guys just take Wednesday off, but it's important to monitor. If you have JT and you picked up Trey Sermon, you may now need to monitor,
Go
I don't
pick
know,
up Goodson
Eric
then.
Gray or whoever the back, not Eric Gray, that's New York. I
No,
don't
it's
know.
Tyler Goodson, who actually looked pretty good last week. It's
Well, there you
limited
go.
snaps. So, yep, you're going down to the third string on the Colts. A lot of injuries there, just like last year. Zach Moss, foot, did not practice. Got hurt last week. I think he's probably out this week, especially with how good Chase Brown has looked. Davante Adams still faking an injury. This is also sleeper. Yeah, who have him his projection is like 15 to 18 points.
Yep.
Yeah, if he plays, but like, what percentage is he going to play? One? And he's like, well, if
Like
they
yeah,
have a new
barely.
quarterback, which we'll get to, like, no, he's not playing. If Antonio Pierce coach there, he's not stepping on the field. And we know that. So don't put him in your lineup and get pissed on Sunday when he's out. Like, he's not playing. He's not playing. Ugh, okay. Joe Mixon's not practicing. Team's still unclear of the return. This was a very long day to day, then week to week, and that was no timetable. A guy I've been trying to trade for weeks. Now I'm like kind of happy I'm not, because I could trade a lot to not even see this guy for weeks.
Yeah, it's like one of the more confusing scenarios, and I don't know what to think of it. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, Joe Mixon is 28 years old, but he has a lot of miles on him. He's been, running a lot since college, so he's probably a little bit slower to heal than most, but he could have just been on IR this whole time. There's no reason.
Yeah, it was week two. It's week three, four, five, misses six. Boom.
Yeah, he would have been back. So
Super annoying. Malik Nabers still did not practice. He's in concussion protocol. So it's going on 2 weeks.
I would bet that he clears it,
It's been
but
2 weeks. So he's got to clear by Saturday, right? It's not
I
the
believe that's the
last
rule
test.
Saturday, yeah.
Because they can't do it like Sunday. Like, all right, come on the field. See, oh, yeah, it's fine.
Right.
Get him in there.
Right.
There's tests and stuff that you had to do. Alvin Kamara, hip and hand, did not practice. I know he got banged up, but I'm guessing it's a vet day off. We don't really see Kamara practice too much on Wednesdays as it is. Keep an eye on that, though, what I think he plays.
Yeah, and I guess we can couple the one of the trending in the right direction guys with this one, and that's Kendre Miller, who logged a full practice today for the first time all season. So he's probably coming off of IR, if I had to guess. Jamal Williams has not looked effective and looked confused on the field this past week, almost taking out a kickoff that should be a touchback, and then trying to take a knee and then whatever. So I'm sure he's found his way into the doghouse. I would expect Kendre Miller to see the field, even if Kamara is healthy. I think it makes a lot of sense to get him active quickly. So just something to monitor, I suppose. Other guys trending in the right direction. AJ Brown and Devontae Smith will return to the field almost certainly this week. They were full participants in practice today, much needed by the Eagles. Bring their stud guys back and really help out that passing attack. Khalil Shakir was spotted on the sideline doing individual drills at practice today. That doesn't necessarily mean he'll be back this week, but it's definitely trending in the right direction. Nick Chubb logs a full practice today, or sorry, logged a limited practice today. Hopefully by maybe the end of the week he'll be logging a little bit more, and then maybe even a full practice by next week. I don't think he's really a candidate to return this week, but
He
crazier
only
things have
has two
happened.
more weeks to get on the field or else so for the year too, because that 21
Yeah.
day window is now 14 or
Exactly.
13 now. So
Yeah, so it's
I hope
more
he's
than
back.
likely next week, but yeah, it would be great if it was this week. Jerome Ford's actually started to struggle, so there is maybe some urgency. However, the Browns team is not good, so maybe there's less urgency
That's
risking
also a
to.
thing too. It's like we talk about that the
Yep.
Browns aren't doing well, which is right now, looks like a complete dumpster fire. It's like, do we activate Nick Chubb this year or have him fully healthy next year when we have a new quarterback?
Yeah, and I think you'd be hard pressed to keep a guy like Chubb off the field, who clearly has put a lot of work into getting back. But sometimes you got to protect these guys from themselves. Like, he's never going to say, I quit. So maybe you just take the decision away from him. But at the same time, the Browns could really use him. Even though the running game has not been the primary offender of, the reasons that they're not winning, the defense has been good enough. The running game has been solid. It's been the passing game that is
Yeah,
completely lackluster. It's Deshaun Watson.
it's hard to have a just a halfway decent run game when the defense knows just to stop that, and then the passing game will stop itself pretty much.
I mean, exactly. We saw it with the Panthers, right? Like, they had Bryce Young, who was a non-threat at quarterback, and they immediately changed to Andy Dalton. And he doesn't have to be great, but it's just enough of a threat to open everything up.
And now Chuba Hubbard's a top end RB1 in fantasy.
Seriously.
Like
Yep.
that's all it takes.
Exactly.
It's not on here, but did Jonathan Brooks practice again this week at
Oh,
all?
that's.
He's been very quiet.
Yeah, I have not heard much out of the Jonathan Brooks camp. Let me see if I can get a quick update on him on the fly here. Yeah, let's see. Jonathan Brooks is still on PUP. Practice window is not even open yet. Panthers head coach Dave Canales said Monday that the team won't designate Brooks to return to practice this week. So, oh, that was 9 days ago. So no, there's not an update.
Which is still not good. Like,
Yeah, I'd like to
we'll
hear
get to,
something.
I think we'll get to that and hold full, because this is a guy that people held on to and think he's a league winner once he's back. Guilty as charged. But with
Yeah,
Chuba playing so good, I don't see how you get Chuba off the field.
totally agree. In other news, Anthony Richardson logs limited practice. Their coach said that he is still the starter. As soon as he can play, he'll be back out there. It seems like he's feeling a lot better. He's laughing and joking with reporters, saying he feels ready to play. I don't know that's necessarily true. It's almost unfortunate because the rest of the team has looked so much better with Joe Flacco. You know, I wish that Richardson would get back out there and dominate and sling the ball around, and everybody looks fantastic. He's throwing dimes and he's running and he's staying healthy and yada yada yada. But it just hasn't been the case through this far in the season. So I think if you're an owner of any of the wide receivers in the Indy offense, you're rooting for as much Flacco as you can get.
Yeah, and it's funny, like one receiver all year that's been able to play with both quarterbacks, Alec Pierce,
Alec Pierce.
freaking killing it. Josh Downs
Which
looked
is,
great the last couple of weeks when he's, since he's been back with Flacco. And you think, like, if Flacco's starting and Pittman's out, you know, Josh Downs have monster games. But we'll
yeah.
see if Rich plays, and if that is the case,
The one guy who we should have mentioned earlier when we talked about Pittman being out, possibly seeing an increase, is A.D. Mitchell. And, you know, again, you're rooting for Flacco because I don't have faith in Richardson finding him. Other wide receiver Christian Watson logs a limited practice. I think it'd be a real quick return from a high ankle sprain for him to come back in 2 weeks. So I don't expect him to play, but limited practice is definitely trending in that direction. You have the Romeo Doubs scenario unfolding. I know he is back in practice this week, which is good, but they might need receivers more than we thought they did with how much activity Tucker Kraft is being asked to perform.
Yeah, God.
And then Evan Engram is limited at practice, but he does expect to play week six. The Jags very much need him back in the offense. I mean, he was a focal point of it last year. So as soon as he's back on the field, I think you're putting him into your lineup and just kind of hoping for the best. But yeah, Evan Engram expected to play this week, which is fantastic if you drafted him. I know I did in a couple leagues, and having watching him on my bench has been unfortunate for a while now. CMC is confirmed he will not play in week six, but the reason he ends up in trending in the right direction is that he was back on the field doing drills this week. He may be held out as long as San Francisco's bye in week nine, so it'd be a week 10 return. That's something that's been floating around recently. I think it's probably been floating around since he went down with the injury, but he's at least doing something and not having any other significant setbacks as he prepares to return. So we'll see. I mean, San Fran keeps dropping games. They might force him out there sooner than they should. We've seen them risk some running backs' health in the past. I'm sure it won't be an issue for them to do it again.
So on the news, Aiden O'Connell will start for the Raiders over Gardner Minshew Sunday. Why not? Minshew hasn't done well. Drake May's time in New England can't be worse than Brissett, but we also, as Pats fans, don't want to see him get, you know, killed, especially against the Texans week one, his first game. It's kind of unfair, but hopefully he can make some of these receivers. I wouldn't even say fantasy relevant, but just everyday relevant. Like I can't stand reading this stat line. I'm like, how does like no one get over 20 yards? It's just insane.
No, it's bananas. Like you said, it can't be worse. So I get it in the sense of, yeah, I mean, I guess you want to put the best product on the field possible. I don't think it's the right call. I would not be playing Drake May if I was the coach of this team. I don't think you're going to do anything for his confidence. I think we saw how badly it turned out with Mac Jones in New England before. I don't think he has the offensive line or the weapons around him to be successful. So I'm anti starting Drake May in this spot. That being said, you've seen teams with a quarterback change just come out and put up a huge game. We saw with the Panthers and Andy Dalton. I mean, they came, they saw, they conquered. So Drake may very well come out and sling it and be, you know, appear to be the hero that New England needs. How long that lasts, I don't have much faith, but we'll see. I think we're many more parts away from one quarterback coming in to save the team.
Oh yeah. Jets fired head coach Robert Saleh. Aaron Rodgers said he had nothing to do with it. I'm calling baloney on that.
Yeah, I don't get this, to be honest with you. You take a very strong defensive-minded head coach whose defense has really been fine for the majority of the season. You canned him, and then you promoted another defensive-minded head coach to, I don't know, carry on the tradition that you claim to not like and fire the coach over. So, statistically, you look at a lot of the comparisons of the Jets' offense, and they're not starkly different from what it was last year under Zach Wilson, which, with what you're expecting out of Aaron Rodgers is kind of unacceptable. So, a weird firing, very Jets though. I can't say I'm surprised. Seems like Woody Johnson probably needed a scapegoat. And a little bit of change, I guess, never hurts.
Yeah, exactly. You said before, like new quarterback, also fire of a coach, new coach, and usually that first week is always a bigger week. So hopefully, we get guys like Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson can, do what he did last week going forward.
Yeah, I don't know how many more than 23 targets he can see, but
Yeah,
that's going to be
that was
nearing a
crazy.
critical mass there, but
And last bit of news, Zay Jones is eligible to return from suspension, but the Cardinals are giving him one more week on their exempt list to fight for a job in practice,
yeah, I
which
think
I
they're just happy with what
get.
they've seen,
Michael
from who they've
Wilson,
got.
Greg Dortch, like Marvin Harrison, tight ends. Like, yeah, it's not like, all right, Zay, you're a downfield threat. You gotta earn that role. So
Yeah, like
don't
why
mind it
rock
at
the
all.
boat?
Yeah. Especially when you have Kyler running 50-yard touchdowns.
Exactly.
All right, you want to start with the top guys? I'll
Yeah,
start for a while.
we got the week five top shelf performances here. Number one at quarterback, Kirk Cousins. First time on the list this year for damn sure. He's struggled up until this point, but he showed up for a big one on Thursday night, put up 35.36 fantasy points, 42 of 58 passing for 509 yards, breaking Matt Ryan's Atlanta Falcons franchise record for passing yards in one game on the night they inducted him into the Ring of Honor, which is just hilarious. And then four touchdowns with one pick for Kirk. So great game. I mean, it was fun to watch. Probably the best Thursday night game of the year so far, probably by a wide margin, to be honest with you. And exciting to see Kirk Daddy sling it.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Running back, Tank Bigsby, 25.4 points, 13 carries, 101 yards, two touchdowns, plus a catch for 28 yards. Yeah, I mean, ETN got banged up, but every time Tank's touching the ball, he's really doing well. So it's going to be hard to keep this guy off the field.
Yeah, 13 for 101 is a great average.
Yeah, fantastic.
At the wide receiver position, we have a much more familiar name who's used to being on lists like this. Ja'Marr Chase, 36.3 points, 10 catches on 12 targets for 193 yards and two scores. Hell of a game. I mean, you saw the Ravens and Bengals in a shootout, and this is what you expect to see in a shootout. He didn't make the list for honorable mention, but I was going to throw in T. Higgins as well. He was right behind at like 23 points.
Yeah, good game. I think he had two touchdowns too, or just one.
I think he just had the one, but he had a bunch of yards too.
Yeah. Tight end Tucker Kraft, start of the week for me, 22.8 points, four catches. Oh, it's like, but he had four catches, but 88 yards and two touchdowns. That's all it takes.
Yeah, that Green Bay offense is hot to trot, so I think you keep playing as many pieces of it as you can. A couple other honorable mentions. We had Lamar and Joe Burrow following up behind Kirk Cousins. They again, like I said, a shootout, so you expect to see both quarterbacks up there. DeAndre Swift and Rico Dowdle at the running back spots. Swift has really turned it around, but he did play Carolina, so I guess you take that with a small asterisk. Rico Dowdle, though, just absolutely demolishing Zeke Elliott out of all relevance. So keep your eye on that. I guess he's the guy to own in Dallas going forward. And then you had Drake London and Darnell Mooney, both beneficiaries of Kirk Cousins' huge game. Darnell Mooney really could have been the top wide receiver of the day if he would have caught that last easy touchdown at the end of the game. So that was probably 9 to 11 point swing, depending on the yardage.
Yeah, that first touchdown he grabbed was over three defenders, and then he drops a wide open pass, so that hurt. But to Swift, Roschon Johnson scored two goal line touchdowns, so Swift's day could have been a lot better than just 19. He gets one more of those, he's probably passing Tank Bigsby. So
100%.
yeah, so last 2 weeks with Swift has been great to see, and it's helping the offense, so they're not going to go away from the run game.
Totally.
Bottom feeding pieces of garbage. Quarterback position got a few guys: Andy Dalton 4.74, Sam Darnold 5.26, and Deshaun Watson 8.4. Sean played one of the worst, Washington, right? One of the worst secondaries. Should have had a massive game, and you can't do it against them. I don't know. I don't know how you start him. I don't.
I started him over Caleb Williams, who was close to making our honorable mentions. You know, he had 26 points or something like that. So
I'm talking about for the Browns. Like, I don't know how put him back out there. It's just.
And they came out today with the announcement that he's not even being considered as being relieved of his duties at quarterback. I don't know. I at this point, it has to be the money. They have to be saying, we have so much sunken into this guy, we have to play him.
Or it's a head coach that didn't like want him, but is saying, hey, to the GM, this is what, what you want. I'm not going to bench him.
Yeah, that could very well be what
you wanted. So there's so many scenarios, but he just looks lost, not caring to play. And I think I've seen that thing. I don't think it was this week, but 2 weeks ago when he had like six sacks. And they do the stat where it's like how many sacks were the offensive line's fault and none were. So he's putting himself in bad situations.
I actually happened to watch some of this game for God knows why. I was torturing myself apparently, but you would see him.
Jaden Daniels. That's why.
You'd see him like, true. You'd see him make his read, not like it for whatever reason, despite it being the correct read, whatever, tuck the ball down and get hit. It's like whether he got it out or got sacked or anything else, like he's just not. Maybe he's not confident. Maybe he's not prepared. I don't know enough, you know, intimately about him to tell you what it is. But there's something that's just not the Deshaun that we saw when he played for the Texans. And like that, Deshaun was confident, knew his reads, knew where he was going with the ball, and quite honestly, didn't have the talent at wide receiver that he has now. So I don't really know how many more excuses you can make for the guy. I mean, he's surrounded by Jerry Jeudy, who has looked a lot better, Amari Cooper, who we know is good, Elijah Moore, who is there, and Njoku was back last week and didn't, you know, was not effective. I think he had eight targets and like two catches, something like that. And then Jerome Ford and historically a pretty good offensive line. So I don't know. I will bash on Deshaun as much as the next guy, maybe more than the next guy. I don't know, but he is my – I know he scored more points than Sam Darnold and Andy Dalton, but he's my biggest piece of shit on this list.
Yeah, especially the
– and also
– matchup.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Andy Dalton and Sam Darnold, we expect to see them crash down to reality every once in a while. Deshaun, this is where he lives now. Like, he's on this list week after week.
Yeah, and Sam Darnold faced the Jets in London. Like, we didn't expect him to have a huge game as it was. So. Right.
All right, moving on after bashing Deshaun. Possible. The running back position, I touched on this earlier. Zeke Elliott, 1.7 points. Just, he's not the guy. If you thought he was going to be the guy, you were wrong. I was one of those people. I thought he had a chance to reclaim a three-down back role with very little competition around him, and I was just flat-out wrong. Just move on. He's droppable in all formats. There's no point in carrying him anymore. Other guys on this list, Zach Charbonnet, Bucky Irving, 4.6 points. Guys that were trending up that you thought were maybe playable, not so much. And Breece Hall, 5.2 points. He's had a tough go over the last couple of weeks. You know, we'll give him the London excuse as well. A lot of times those London games are sloppy. They're unprepared. They're early in the morning. They throw off your rhythm and your schedule. Give him one more week. See what he does.
Yeah, he's also a back that's like back like that good in the NFL. You don't just be like, all right, here's a drive, then let's have Braylon Allen in for a drive. Like you got to get these guys reps. And again, with a new head coaching change, perhaps that changes because when he plays ball, they win. So weird.
Yeah. I mean, he's like J.R. Smith, man. He's a volume shooter.
Yeah. the wide receivers, Chris Olave, massive dud, 2 points. Jerry Jeudy dropped a 5-yard touchdown, 2.1 points. Deebo Samuel, 2.5. The Olave one was tough. That one hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I was playing, might have been your brother actually, in one of our leagues, and I had like, let's call it like 1.5 point lead going into the game. I'm like, oh, so if Olave catches like one ball, essentially, I'm done. And he goes out and like scores 2 points. And the game was, I mean, I still lost, but it was incredibly narrow. Like, I expected to lose by 10, 12,
10,
15 points.
yeah.
I was like, God dang it. This is
Oh, that
terrible.
sucks.
Yeah. And then Debo, I think, is that 2 weeks in a row for Debo on letdown games? There's came off the injury and then 1 week, whatever it is. It's getting to the point of like being concerning.
Yeah, and especially a week where Ayuk looked like Ayuk. He had a very big game, so
Finally.
Kittle too.
Yeah.
So
Oh, yeah. The offense is starting to trend in the right direction. And again, we've seen this though. Like, some weeks it's the Debo show, some weeks it's Ayuk. So give it time. He's a guy I don't expect to see down here a ton, but if he does end up here often, he may have issues. And then to round it out, the tight end position for our week five bottom feeders is David Njoku, 1.9 points. Just a bad showing, probably linked to Deshaun Watson's poor performance as well. He also was coming back off an injury, so he maybe should get a little caveat there, just a small asterisk as well. But give him another week. I would continue to start David Njoku. I expect to see him turn back into form, round back into form.
Yep. All right. Next section, we got hold fold, as well as some true or false questions I have, because we don't have too many hold fold guys. But Chicago Bears receivers, Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen. I'll let you into that first to make it very hard.
Last week we talked about Keenan Allen. I told you I'm not dropping Keenan Allen really under any circumstance. I'm going to hold firm on that stance at least for one more week. I really just think that he can still turn it around. Not even turn around. I just show up for the first time since joining the Bears. But I think he's gradually getting more healthy. You finally saw his snap count or snap share up to 81% last week, and he faces off against Jacksonville
Oh,
in
yeah.
the coming week. So all of that wrapped into one kind of cornucopia of things. I'm going to keep Keenan Allen on my roster in pretty much every format, unless I had like a hyper short bench, but that Jacksonville matchup, he's probably in my lineup. Odunze, I'm kind of in the same boat. He also logged an 80% snap share this week, which means really that the Bears went to three wide receiver set pretty often because DJ Moore is on the field a ton too. So if you have Allen, Moore, and Odunze on the field 80% of the time, and they're going to go to these three wide receiver packages more often, and it worked. I know it was against the Panthers, so let's take it with a grain of salt, but that could be fantastic. He only scored 6.5 points, but he did see six targets. He made five catches on those six targets, so he's doing something with them. And again, he plays the Jaguars. So I think
Yeah.
you'd be a little premature to cut him this week.
And they were up big. So we did see the run game score three touchdowns alone because they were up. So they're gonna be in a lot more games where they're not up by a lot. But yeah, Jacksonville, then a bye, and then Washington. Those are just, I want everyone on that team starting for those two games next 3 weeks. So hold for me for both guys.
Totally.
Last guy, Juwan Jennings, after massive week three, was it? And then decent week four, came back down to earth. See what he did last week. I don't think he did anything. 1.8 points last
Yeah,
week.
I was gonna say I think he's cuttable. You've got a healthy Debo back on the team. You've got Ayuk performing back where you expect him to. Like you said, Kittle's in there. He doesn't do a lot out of the running game like Debo does. You know, he doesn't flex into the running back position like, 99% of receivers in the NFL. So I would say he's foldable at this point. He's a guy that if Debo or Ayuk picks up another injury, you just go and drop even more fab on him, and you're kind of kicking yourself that you cut him in the first place. But it is what it is.
Yeah, like I'm dropping him for Ty Chandler
Yeah,
just because of
100%.
the upside. All right, just a few questions. True or false to you, believe or not to believe. Do we believe that Tank Bigsby is overtaking Travis Etienne from here on out?
No, I do not believe it. I truly believe that Etienne is dealing with a shoulder injury that's causing him a significant amount of discomfort and or pain, and it's really affecting his ability to stay on the field. Tank Bigsby, however, is seizing that opportunity, and I do not begrudge him that one bit. I think he's looked fantastic. I think he's honestly looked like the better running back. However, I think Etienne is the better running back. I think the Jaguars are well aware of this as well. And as long as Etienne can get healthy, it should return to an Etienne dominant backfield. That caveat's very important, though. If Etienne picks up a more significant injury and needs to miss time, Tank Bigsby certainly will continue to eat. Assuming both are healthy, no, he is not overtaking Etienne. Put it this way, in a fair fight, Etienne beats Bigsby.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario would be a split backfield like we see with the Bucks with Irving and White. That's the best case, I think, for Tank. If they say, you know, we can't keep Tank off of the field, it's more 50-50, 60-40. I think that's still fine. It helps keep Etienne more fresh to keep him in your lineup. So I'd rather a guy score 12 to 15 than 20 than out 2 weeks.
Right.
In my lineup. So I think we will still see more of a split, but I think it's not him overtaking. It's Etienne banged up. And if you got the hot hand, this guy's doing this, no point to have Etienne lower his shoulder out there. So, yeah.
And whatever he's dealing with, whether it's a sprain or a strain or something more significant, if he needs the time off, take the time off. Like, for fantasy's sake, for NFL's sake, for his own personal sake, we would prefer you to be on benches and tell us that you're out, because then I don't need to worry. I will start Tank Bigsby. If I'm playing fantasy football correctly and I've cuffed him, then I will sit Etienne, I will play Bigsby, and I will be thrilled, and I won't care who does what in the real NFL. It's the not even so much this week, since he still got you 12 points, but the previous week where he's like on the field, then he's off the field, he's not doing taking any snaps, then he sees him magically return to the second. That stuff is frustrating for fantasy players. So, you know, by all means, just sit.
Yeah. We kind of had this question before in a way, but do you believe that there's any Patriots wide receiver that could emerge as a, you know, as a fantasy start or even a freaking fantasy stash, I guess?
I know you want me to say Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, I know. But and if it is someone, then who is it?
Kendrick Bourne is the best wide receiver on the team. However, I don't think he's the answer to your question. I think he's going to be a safety valve for Drake May as you head forward. You saw him in very, very limited packages last week. I think he had just the one catch, but they're going to ease him in. If anybody is going to be that guy at the receiver position, if we're talking purely pass catchers, I believe the answer is Hunter Henry. If there is, if we're talking just strictly receivers, I would say Jalen Polk is the only person that I would take that shot on, based on what we're seeing him begin to do against decent defenders. I mean, Miami's defense has not been bad this year. They've held some decent teams in check. And he's one touchdown away from
that
a viable.
I think that was a touchdown. Look,
there's last week. So I was there actually at the game, and I was like screaming my head off, as you can imagine. And I'm yelling, that's a touchdown. Like, I'm going to storm the field. Like, where do you live? All this stuff. So in the moment, yes. And on replay, yes. But then when you hear the explanation of the rule that if you need to firmly plant your foot, but if it drags in any amount, even drags 1 millimeter, then you get to count the toe. If you're facing the sideline, matters and blah, blah, blah. So there's like rules in there that I've never even heard, that I wasn't aware of coming from a person who's watched football for the better part of 30 years. So if I'm not aware of it, I got to assume other more casual viewers aren't aware of it either.
Yeah.
And I actually went back and watched the YouTube TV broadcast of the game as well, just to kind of get their take on it. And both of the announcers definitely thought it was a touchdown right up until Dean Blandino had to fill them in with the caveat of the facing direction of the player and whatnot. But again, very, very minor adjustment by Jalen Polk to spin or toe tap or whatever. He gets a touchdown. He has a viable fantasy week. Side note, better throw by Jacoby Brissett, and we're not having this conversation because Polk's standing there and catching it. So I can't be that upset when an easy play is made more difficult and then fails to produce what you expect it to. But to go back to your question, yeah, Jalen Polk would be my pick of anybody that could be a viable fantasy player going forward. My percentage chance of will he? 20% chance.
Yeah, I guess the question is, are you going out there and adding him right now? Or you, or because if he has like an 8 point game, like he's gonna cost you what, a buck or two anyways in Fab, like, and
right,
then you're not
like,
gonna put him in your lineup. I just
yeah,
don't think
and most
anyone
people are
is
gonna
gonna
go
be.
like no thanks. I'm not taking the chance on him. Let somebody else take him. And he doesn't have an easy stretch. So he has Houston, Jacksonville, which is a good matchup. Then he goes Jets, Titans, Bears. None of these are
And that's,
favorable
that's
matchups.
Jacksonville in London too, I believe. So
I believe you are correct. Then he's got the Rams. Then he goes against Miami again, who he just put up 1.8 points against. But it's tough to see a world where you're going to feel comfortable starting him, and he doesn't have the favorable matchups that you're going like, okay, I got to play a guy in this game. So if he played Carolina, Indy, the Rams, and Jacksonville back to back, I'd say, yeah, go ahead and add him. He's seeing 6 and 7 targets in the past two games. He'll probably have a good shot. I mean, he was on the field for 100% of offensive snaps on Sunday, but you could be out there 200% of the time. If you can't convert it into points, it doesn't matter, right?
Yep. All right, I guess that's all I have for you. I don't know if you have any on your end, but.
No, I did not think of any.
All right, we can get to our last segment, buy low, sell high. Each picked one like we always do. My buy low, kind of talked about this before, but Breece Hall. I just don't see how a guy this talented isn't seeing almost all the carries. I know Braylon Allen has looked good, but. I mean, Breece Hall is a top five pure running back in the NFL, three down back. If there's a time to buy him low, it's now, you know, a couple dud weeks, but fired the head coach, new coach in there. So hopefully that kind of revamps and the coach is saying, hey, here's a new game plan. Look at how we won games, you know, against New England and stuff. It's through Breece Hall. So. I don't know what you can trade for him, but like if, I mean, you can't trade, you know, Nico and Pittman now because they're out, their value's kind of lower, but Tyreek Hill for Breece Hall, if you can do that, I would do that. But again, Tyreek Hill's value is down too. So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a target. It's like, it's just about finding the right mix, right? If you could trade like maybe even a guy on a, have to trade a guy to buy like Jordan Addison. I'd move for Breece Hall if you could to
yeah, which
a
is tough
wide
too
receiver
because
team.
He had a bad game. So
tough,
you,
tough week.
Juwan Jennings is done. Like it's these guys that were doing well. Like and no one's taking like Alec Pierce or Wandale Robinson. Maybe in a package, like
right.
you get. But like I don't know. Do you trade like Joe Mixon and Wandale for him? But again, Mixon's out, so it's tough because there's a lot of injuries and a lot of teams that. Really can't trade guys in
yeah,
the
you get
package to get
like
one.
You've got a lot of like good teams in your leagues, the undefeated teams, the one loss teams that are just sitting there going like, I'm good. Like I'm not making any moves. And you're like,
yep.
We could do a 2-for-1. You're like, nah, you
why
just
would
keep
I do that?
Breece
2-for-1.
Hall.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna keep whatever. Yeah. Like I'm just gonna keep winning. You can keep losing. So it's tough to trade right now. This is kind of the time of the year where it gets a little dicey, but if you can make a move, good things can happen. So I'll just get into my buy low because I actually did just buy him what I would consider low. And I texted you beforehand. Traded a first round pick in 2027 for Debo in a dynasty league. So essentially a pick that has no value to me. I don't know where my team's going to be by then. Probably dead. Or everybody's hurt anyways. But like I mentioned at the top of the podcast, I've lost Rashee Rice. I've lost Nico Collins now to IR for at least 4 weeks. I'm already down Jonathan Taylor. Devin Singletary's hurt. Like this team is in a tough spot. They've got Zach Moss questionable. Ramondre Stevenson is still very, very questionable. It's just gross. I don't have to go any further than that. So I need to grab a wide receiver. Somebody just sent me the trade first round pick for Debo. Two, 3 years ago, you would have paid two or three firsts for a guy like this, and you probably would have paid him for, you know, the coming year. So I was happy to pay one. I thought it was a good move. If you can acquire him for such a value of a future first in a dynasty league, I think that definitely counts as a buy low. As far as redraft leagues, which we tend to focus on here, I don't know exactly the player you're really looking at in terms of like a direct comparison, but you get a guy like Debo who has had a rough week against New England and then another rough week against Arizona this week. So he posted 8.7, which is okay, and then 2.5 points with only three targets and one catch against Arizona. So he's got Seattle this week, not the easiest matchup, but you did just see what happened between them and Detroit. So if you could have a game like that for Debo, you could be looking at a big bounce back. If you're in a position where you need to win, definitely somebody that I would go out and try to target. I just try to think of a good trade for him, but I don't know if it exists. I mean, I guess my our sell highs would be good swaps.
Yeah, I mean, I think the sell highs need to give a little more to get the
Honestly,
guys, but
yeah.
my sell high is Christian Kirk. Dawes, I know you had Brian Thomas last week, but I'm doing Kirk this week. Mainly, Brian Thomas will just look like the wide receiver to own there, the wide receiver one by far. Kirk in week 3 and 4 had, I guess, bounce back games target wise. 10 targets, 12 targets, but last week back down to 4 targets, which is what we've seen from him more often than not this season. Kind of scary. And Evan Ingram is coming back, so a guy that demands a lot of targets for the tight end position. They also play Chicago this week, who've done a pretty good job against wide receivers. So I think if you can trade Kirk on, just the fact that, he's got 3 double digit games the last 3 games. He had a big play last week, so he was 4 catches for 88 yards, so I don't see it being, one big play game for Kirk, especially with Ingram back there. So I think if you can trade Kirk, I would do it because I don't see him, being the wide receiver one like he was last year.
Yeah, the other thing to look at, and I would toss Brian Thomas on this list again this week if I wanted to just double down on it. I know he had a 20.7 point game again this week, but as you mentioned, he plays Chicago. He's going to have Jalen Johnson on him all game long. But then the Jags go pretty favorable. New England, Green Bay, Philly, Minnesota, Detroit, bye. Great. That gets you a few wins if you keep both these guys. But as you go try to win your fantasy playoffs with these guys as your starters,
Tough.
you see Houston, Tennessee, the Jets, the Raiders, Tennessee. Like those are five games in fantasy playoffs that I don't want to deal with, like at all. So I would sell my Jags, all of them, as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah, I mean, you can get to your jag
Yeah,
right
and
now.
this is my Jag as well. Tank Bigsby is my sell high. We talked about his great performance. He looks efficient. He looks effective. If ETN is actually hurt, Bigsby's value goes up even higher. So maybe you hold him for another week or at least until some news drops that ETN's not practicing or continues to not practice. But if you can move him, I would move Tank Bigsby for Debo Samuel straight up if I could get Debo as the return. I don't know that the Debo owner would do that, but I would do that as the Tank owner. I would, personally, just like I just said, I would look to unload all of my Jaguar shares. Number one, I don't necessarily believe in the team right now. I don't think they've looked all too good as a unit. But with those matchups coming down the pipe, it's just move Tank, Christian Kirk, Brian Thomas, and try to get back Breece Hall and Debo. I'd be happy.
Yeah. Yep. This is the time to start trading the guys that are on the high.
Yeah, and if you're a 4-0 5 or 5-0 team, there's no reason that you should be worried about weeks 6 through 11. You should already be thinking about weeks 13 through 17.
Yep.
Because, I mean, 5 wins in a, what, 14 game regular season?
And you probably have better players than the team that are the reason you
Oh,
are 5-0.
I've got Brian Thomas. I've been playing him, but he was a 15th round pick for me. I've got Jordan Addison, who was a 17th round pick. Like, that's in my keeper league. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll hold on to those guys and keep them that late next year. I'll be stacked. But
Yeah.
in a league where you just do straight redraft, if you have them that late, then you definitely have better guys as long as they're healthy or, not Davante Adams faking injuries.
All right. That will do it for podcast 306. Dows, do you want to take the fans out.
Yeah, I would love to. I love the shelfies. I love taking them out. As always, we appreciate you guys listening. We still want to hear more of your start state questions as we go, as we head towards the game day every week. So hit us up on Top Shelf FNTSY on Twitter, sorry, X, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you see us. Please send the questions. We love answering them. It's one of our favorite things to do on Sundays. Keep an eye out for our start sits, which should be hitting pretty consistently the rest of the season. Try to get them out to you guys on Friday, give you something to do in the office. And as always, stay fluid, stay loose.
Top Shelf Fantasy. Stay fluid. Stay loose. We'll be right back.